Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the amazing Rico Bronya podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Let's start off by saying this. Pete Alonso, while not a New York Met, Pete Alonso, while I hate to say it, unlikely to be a New York Met, is still not a former Met. So if you tuned into the Rico Bronya, or you are a Met fan who's ready to do the postmortem, ready to be depressed, ready to talk about, I can't believe he's not here anymore, he's not here, he's not coming back. While I can't sit here and tell you I'm confident he's going to be a Met, that would be a bold-faced lie, he is not a former Met yet. But let's figure this out for a second. Let's use some logic here. Because what's my mood right now as we do this Rico Bronya late on a Thursday night? My mood is I am pissed off at everybody. I'm disappointed in everybody. Because here's the way I look at it. The latest offer that was leaked out clearly by Scott Boras, there's no reason for the Mets to leak out their offer for Pete Alonso. But the offer that was leaked out by Scott Boras to the New York Post of 3 years, some range of about $70 million, $65 million, maybe some deferrals in there, who the hell knows? That contract is a contract I look at, and I get it. It's not my money, even if I'm a season ticket holder. I look at that contract and I say, I'd offer Pete Alonso more. That's how I feel. Now, I know there's many in the audience who may disagree with that and say, screw Pete Alonso, he's on the decline. Screw Pete Alonso, he turned down a big contract 2 years ago. I wouldn't even offer him that. Okay, we disagree. Because to me, and I'm going to strip out all emotions here, because quite frankly, Pete Alonso being a lifelong Met, or Pete Alonso becoming the all-time home run king in Met history, passing Darryl Strawberry. Let's put that aside. Let's just talk a little baseball here. From a baseball perspective, a guy that plays 160 games every year, a guy that even in a bad year hits 30-plus home runs, I would be willing to offer more than that. That's just me. And I keep hearing, well, look at Matt Olson's AAV. Look at Freddie Freeman's AAV. Look at Goldie's old contract's AAV. This is not the same exact scenario. He is a free agent, which, by the way, Matt Olson was not. Paul Goldschmidt was not. This is also a short-term contract. And usually, when you end up kind of making these deals on short-term deals, the AAV is going to be a little bit higher. So let's just start there. I disagree with David Stearns that that would have been my offer. I would have offered more. Now, I get it. I'm trying to strip away emotion. I'm trying to strip away how I'd act as a fan. But I hear that offer. I think you guys hear that offer. And maybe your first reaction is, really, that's it? It leads you down the Hoffman road, as I like to call it, of believing, well, David Stearns just never wanted him back. That's the kind of offer that makes you feel that way. So that's my disappointment in David Stearns. That's my disappointment in the New York Mets. Now let's get to Boras. Scott Boras is not clean in this, because Scott Boras, when there's no market for the player, there is no market right now, is asking for way too much. Now, I get it. As a Met fan, maybe the reaction is, well, what's too much? He's asking for 3 years, $110 million, 3 years, $115 million, 3 years, $100 million. Ah, screw it. Just give it to him. It is impossible for us to ask David Stearns and Steve Cohen to bid against themselves and simply just give Scott what he wants, because I'm going to be mad at them. And the problem I have with Scott Boras is that while he's a wonderful agent and he's gotten a lot of great deals for a lot of his clients, there's no market for Pete Alonso. So when he asks for 3 years, 110, or whatever he's actually asking for, why should the Mets give him that? So I know the easy answer, and I'll tell you what my answer is. Can you find a happy place in the middle? Like, if Boras is insisting on 3 years, 110, and the Mets are sitting here saying, here's 3 years, 65 or 70, and there's opt-outs in each of these deals, can you find somewhere in the middle? You know, Tiki Barber, I give him a lot of credit. This wasn't even on the air. This was in our text chat. He said, kind of feels like Pete $28 million. Kind of feels like the happy place. It's more than the guys we just mentioned, Freddie Freeman, Matt Olson, even what Vlad just got. But he is a free agent. He's taking a short-term deal. 28 seems fair. And you know what? He's probably right. So where I'm not picking a side to blame, because I think we live in a society where we always have to pick a side to blame. How about this one? I'm not happy with either side. I'm not happy with Boras negotiating in a delusional way. I'm not happy that the Mets offer was lower than what I would have been willing as a fan. Granted, it's not my money, though I guess indirectly it is. So I would have liked something higher than that. You know, we heard for a while about 3 years, $90 million. I don't think that was ever a thing. I don't think that was ever a thing from the Mets, clearly. I don't even think that was ever a thing from Scott Boras. So here's the situation we're in, which absolutely sucks. The situation we're in is we haven't been put out of our misery. This isn't Jacob DeGrom all over again, where the Mets had their years, the Mets had their money, Texas came in, they made a massive offer. As much as I cried about it, it was over. The Rangers paid DeGrom a five-year contract. The Mets thought it was too much. So far, the Mets have turned out to be right. We'll see what happens in the final couple of years of the contract. And then that's it. We just have to move on. We've just got to pivot. Okay, go get Justin Verlander. We are living in a world in which the Mets are moving on. Now, I don't think they're making any moves that physically preclude them from bringing back Pete Alonso. Like, they're not adding a first baseman. Let's make that clear. There is no first baseman for the Mets to add. They're not adding a third baseman. Any delusions that they're signing Alex Bregman, let's just get it. They're not. The Mets' backup plan when it comes to Pete, and this has always been the case, even if we didn't want to admit it, is internal. It's Brett Beatty. It's Ronnie Mauricio. It's Luis Angel Acuna. If they bring back Iglesias, it could be even Iglesias playing a little bit of third base with McNeil at second. And Mark Vientos obviously playing first base. And then DH is Jesse Winker, who's been brought back, not to bury the headline, if those consider that the headline, but they did re-sign Jesse Winker, which we'll get into. And Starling Marte is still here. And maybe a combination of those younger guys getting an opportunity to DH. That's their backup plan. That's their pivot. Any idea that they are signing Alex Bregman is delusional. Any idea that they're signing Anthony Santander, who, let's face it, Anthony Santander over the last 3 years is similar to Pete Alonso. They are similar players. They strike out a lot. They don't hit for a high average. They're not monster walk guys. They've got a lot of pop. What's the difference? Oh, I'll tell you. Alonso's a first baseman. Santander's an outfielder. And oh, by the way, if you sign Santander, you're giving up a draft pick, something you wouldn't have to give up to keep Pete Alonso. So now we think the Mets are going to pivot from Pete. They're going to sign a guy who positional-wise doesn't even fit on this roster. And what are they going to do with him? They're going to DH him? They just signed Jesse Winker. They're not. They're not signing Santander. They're not signing Alex Bregman. Their pivot internally is that. It's internal replacements. See, where they would pivot, if that's the word, is they'll spend money elsewhere. And by the way, I'm not complaining about spending money elsewhere. My hope would be you'd be spending that money elsewhere anyway. Like, I'd add a big-time reliever or two or three, either way. But they are not as good in the short term by not re-signing Pete Alonso. And that's my disappointment. My disappointment is this lineup, and we talked about it the other day, Pete, about how that would have to be the strength of this team. Their lineup isn't as fearsome without Pete Alonso. You are relying, and it could work. I hope it works. You're going to rely on young players who haven't proven themselves to fill in for 34 home runs. And maybe if Pete had a bounce back year, more than that. That's a risky proposition. And that's what they're doing. And that's why today, tomorrow, as we talk about this situation, I'm not thrilled as a Met fan. And I think what I've done in this discussion, at least for the first 10 minutes, is I haven't mentioned lifelong Met. I haven't mentioned breaking Darryl's home run record because I'm not even including that in my analysis. My analysis is here is a reliable baseball player. Here's a guy that plays 160 games every year. Here is a guy that even in a bad year hits 30 home runs. And who knows? I can't just assume the decline is going to continue. Maybe in a year with Juan Soto in the lineup, he hits 42 home runs. He bounces back. His OPS is 850. That is not a crazy thing. And the Mets are losing that. We are on the precipice of the Mets losing that. Now, here's what I hold out hope for. And I'm not putting the percentage very high. I'm just being honest. We're having an honest conversation about what the Mets have done wrong and what Boris has done wrong. So the Mets, in my belief, gave him an offer that's below what I think Pete should get. But should get is a negotiation. Should get is a marketplace. There is no marketplace for him. We have not heard about one offer from another team. We've heard about interest from other teams, but have we heard what the Blue Jays have offered Pete Alonso? Have the Blue Jays offered anything, Pete Alonso? Has the Angels offered anything, Pete Alonso? So you've got the Mets coming in with their lowish offer, saying, hey, Pete, we really want to move on. Like, if you come back, cool. If not, we got other things to do. So they make their offer, and Boris is still asking for the moon. The Mets now say, okay, we're done. We're going to go focus. They've been attached to Tanner Scott recently. Go after Tanner Scott. Okay. Now, Pete Alonso and Scott Boris start trying to date the Toronto Blue Jays. What if the Blue Jays come in with a lower offer than what the Mets offered? What if the Boris stare down continues in Toronto? Oh, I got one because Pete Alonso likes money, but he also likes playing first base. What if Pete Alonso says to Scott Boris, I don't really love the idea of going to Toronto. What am I doing position-wise? Is Vladimir Guerrero a Gold Glove first baseman moving to third base? Is that what they're doing for me? Am I DHing? Vlad's not DHing. I mean, he may DH a part of the time. So Pete Alonso, who has always made it clear when he's been here in New York, wants to play first base, is now going to leave New York. He's going to go to Toronto where there's a lot of uncertainty. And by the way, no one wants to play. And he's going to DH half the time? So this Toronto thing, which feels inevitable, right? What if the offer isn't as good as the Met offer? And what if the client doesn't like the idea of not playing first base 98% of the time? Is it possible that Scott Boris, even though he doesn't do this very often, comes back, tail between his legs to the New York Mets and says, all right, can we make a deal? Oh, yes, it's possible. But if I've learned anything about Scott Boris and his tactics, that possibility that I just laid out, as unlikely as it is, because I'm not going to put it at 80%. I'll put that at a very low number, 10%, 20%, whatever it is. If that happens, it's not happening until March. It's not happening until the rest of this offseason for the Mets is completed, whether that includes adding two relievers, whether that includes, I doubt, adding another bat, but whatever else they have in store for this offseason, it will be complete. And then on March 30th, that's right, after opening day, because I could see Scott even pushing this further, he's going to come back to the Mets and say, all right, you know, remember that offer I hated? Is it still there? Is that what we're looking at? Because as long as he doesn't sign somewhere, and as of this, as we record this right now on a Thursday night, let me just check my text messages and see if he signed anywhere. He has not. As long as he hasn't signed anywhere, the possibility of him coming back exists, even if remote. And to the Mets, what I would say is this. What could you possibly do in the next month that would eliminate you from bringing back Pete Alonso? As I laid out, they're not adding a big bat. They're not adding Anthony Santander. They're not adding Alex Bregman. They're not adding any of these guys. So if they're not adding a big-time bat, what could happen to preclude you from keeping Pete? The only thing that could happen, and this is a money decision, this is above David Stearns, right? It's a Steve Cohen decision, is if they spend a lot on bullpen help and their payroll starts to jump up closer to the Cohen tax. We all remember this with J.D. Martinez last year. If you then bring Pete Alonso back and you got to pay a tax on it, is Cohen going to say, no, I don't want to give you, even though I'm not giving Pete the money, I'm going to pay $35 million to bring Pete back when you factor in the tax? And then it becomes a money decision. And so that's the kind of the fear I have right now. The fear I have is that while this is a public negotiation between Scott Boras and the Mets, really Scott Boras and Scott Boras, if the Mets are going to make other moves, and I think we'd like the other moves, by the way, like if they're adding Kirby Yates or Tanner Scott, wouldn't we be okay with that? We'd like our bullpen. We'd feel good about our bullpen. I think those Ricos that we do and responding to that signing would be positive. We'd feel pretty good about the Met bullpen and a nice little tag team behind Edwin Diaz. But that is the only thing that would eliminate them from Pete. By adding payroll and having the owner say, I'm not going that far. And maybe, and this is the other thing that scares me about the Boras stuff. Look, you'll always be able to make a deal with Scott Boras when you want the player. The Mets did that with Juan Soto. Remember the whole thing with Carlos Correa and how ugly that was? So being pissed at an agent doesn't eliminate you from ever signing any of their clients. But I just wonder if the Mets are just done with Alonso and done with Scott during this whole negotiation. Look, it's one thing for Boras to ask for the moon when it came to Soto because he was getting it. He was getting it somewhere, whether it was from us or the Yankees or Toronto or Boston. Boras asking the moon for Pete Alonso is some kind of ballsy. And that's why the one thing I'll warn my fellow Met fans, don't pick sides in this. Because you're on the losing side, in my opinion, either way. It is okay. I think it's okay to criticize the Mets and say, hey, you should offer more for Pete Alonso. Not because he's a lovable lifetime Met, but because we need him. He's a reliable slugger. Go to $27 million a year. Offer him an opt-out after each year. Like, it's okay to believe that. That's what I believe. But it's also simultaneously okay to say Scott Boras is some kind of dick. Like, he's got some kind of balls to be sitting here when he's got no leverage whatsoever and make demands that Pete Alonso gets $38 million a year. Both things can be true. And that's how I feel. And I think sometimes when there's a breakup, when there's a divorce, luckily my parents never divorced, but I can imagine if you have divorced parents, you're not blaming one, you're pissed at both. You pissed at mom and you pissed at dad. So as we sit here in this not, I wouldn't call it a post-Pete Alonso world. I'd call it the, holy crap, we're about to lose Pete Alonso world. I'm kind of annoyed at both. I hear that offer. I see that offer. And like, it's not that it's horrific. We are still talking about $23 million a year. But it's less than they gave Sean Manaea. And I know that shouldn't matter. And why does that mean anything? One guy's a pitcher coming off a great year. The other guy's in a first baseman decline. I get that. I'm not even giving you a baseball argument between Manaea and Alonso. But the reality is the Mets offered Pete Alonso less than Sean Manaea. That's the reality. So I see that offer and feel it's not enough. And I hear what Scott Boras is asking for. And I'm like, what freaking planet are you on? So here's where we are, Met fans. This lineup right now, this batting order right now, assuming they don't make any other significant moves, I don't think they are. I think the only other moves they may make is bringing back Jose Iglesias, which they should, by the way. I feel stronger about bringing back Iglesias today in a potential post-Alonso world than I did 2 days ago, and I wanted him back 2 days ago because Iglesias is a calming veteran. And while, yes, this offers the opportunity to Brett Beatty and the opportunity to Luis Angel Acuna and the opportunity to Ronnie Mauricio, and I got issues with all three of them, which we'll get to. Not issues, but major concerns on all three of them, which we'll get to. You want to have some kind of veteran, all right, take a deep breath. That guy will give you solid glove. We know that with Iglesias, even if he plays third. He gives you the bars with the OMG. And look, I don't expect him to hit 340 again, but he is a solid, solid veteran. They at least have to bring him back. But right now, it feels like we're headed towards a post-Pete Alonso world. Now, Hoff, you have said for a while, you just don't think they want him back. Now, before you go on, what I'll say is, I still stand by they want him back. They want him back at their price. I think their price is way too low. I think their price should have been a lot higher. But if Pete accepted 3 years, 68, he was going to come back. So I still disagree with you, but obviously state your case on why you're a genius and we're all idiots.
I don't want to be a genius. I actually hate myself right now that I'm so freaking smart. Like, this is pissing me off because, first of all, the three-year deal was with no opt-outs, if I'm correct. There was zero opt-outs with this. So it was just a plain old three-year, 68 mil deal.
No. So John Heyman's latest reporting or the post reporting is that there were opt-outs in those deals. So I'd heard the same thing, that there were no opt-outs. Apparently, there were opt-outs in the offer that the Mets made Pete Alonso.
All right. That changes ever so slightly. Nothing that big of a deal.
Just wanna, I want to give you the info. Go ahead.
I appreciate that. But yeah, man, like, this sucks because I'm not trying to take sides. I want to respect David Stearns and his plan of action. I'm happy. We've talked about this, that Steve Cohen hasn't gone in and said, hey, listen, just get Pete Alonso here. I don't care. But I think at this point in time, you've pissed off Pete now. I don't think there's any way that he wants to come back here. I don't think that David Stearns really wants to budge at all. It's insulting because we're talking about Christian Walker, who signed 3 years, $60 million deal. The guy is not this power threat, a guy who is a significant bat in a lineup that changes the complexity of the lineup. That's what Pete Alonso does for the Mets, at least in my opinion. And David Stearns basically says, I'm smarter than you. I can find this other places cheaper. They have a – dude, they dropped a stat where the Mets shed $77-plus million from their payroll from last year. I am not telling you that they need to have a payroll of close to $350 million, but to sit here and you're telling me that Winker, Iglesias, and maybe one or two relief pitchers is the rest of our offseason, I'm sorry. This sounds like an upset of a year, and everyone's been very highly disappointed.
Well, so the payroll thing. Remember, there's a tax on that number. So once you get over the Cohen tax, anytime you're signing somebody, it's costing you almost double, right? That's a part of the whole J.D. Martinez thing. My belief is the Mets are going to get their payroll right back up to $300 million. I don't think they want to go over that and start getting taxed out of their mind. So I fully expect that over the next few weeks, there will be moves made in which they're going to spend a lot of money. And I think it's going to come out of the bullpen. I really do. And we've talked about how they need to add arms in this bullpen. I don't know if it's going to be Tanner Scott. I know that my preference is Tanner Scott. I can tell you that right now. I mean, if you and who knows what that cost is going to be? I mean, when you compare it to what Edwin Diaz is making, what Josh Hader is making, and considering the dominance of Scott the last couple of years, I mean, Hoff, he may get $20 million a year. Like, that's on the – now, are you willing to give him that, by the way? Forget Alonso. Do you want Tanner Scott at $20 million a year?
I want Tanner Scott. I'll take my $20 million. Yes, 100%. Okay. Who do I think is more valuable, though? Tanner Scott or Pete Alonso?
Well, it's freaking different. It's just – it's apples and oranges. You know, I think if you can get solid production out of his replacements, which none of us have confidence in right now, and Tanner Scott's pitching on that ace bullpen level like he has the last 2 years, and Diaz even returns closer to 2022 than he was last year, the Mets may have the best 1-2 punch out of their bullpen. So, I don't know. It's tough to compare. Who I'd rather have Pete Alonso, if you're asking me. I mean, I guess I'll just answer it that way. But I think that their value of Pete, Stearns' value of Pete, is just much lower than the value I have for him and the value you have for him. And again, to anyone out there, because I've had this argument a lot about lifelong Met and paying for the past, I'm talking about what he is now. I'm not even talking about the heartstrings. I'm talking about reliability. I'm talking about 160 games of first base. He can hit 35 home runs. And I also am looking at how they're replacing him. They're not. They're not. Like, we could talk about next year. A lot of people want to talk about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That seems to be a very popular name. Here's the reality about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He's not available today. He's not. And I'll tell you right now, considering the league he's in, the American League, there's a better chance we're out of a pennant race than the Blue Jays are. If we're projecting to July 31st, like I hear from some of my fellow Met fans of, we'll just go get Vlad. I'm like, well, hold on a second. If you're talking about next year's offseason, that's a different story. Sure, Mets have a lot of money. They proved it with Soto. They can sign someone when they want someone. But let's talk about 2025. You know, the season that's coming up, the season where they just announced all the giveaways. We'll do a whole Rico about that at some point. A much more lighthearted Rico Bronya. They're not getting Vladimir Guerrero for this season because the Blue Jays aren't trading him. The same Blue Jay team that's trying to sign Pete Alonso. I saw a report from Martino. Oh, the Mets called about Vlad. They're asking for more than Soto. You know what that's called? It's called they're not trading Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Nor should they. They're trying to extend him, which I'm not confident they will, but they're trying. And they've got a better chance of extending him than San Diego or the Yankees ever did with Juan Soto, who is destined for free agency. So A. Vlad is going to get to the start of this season. Now we're talking trade deadline. Okay, if the Blue Jays suck in a lousy American League and the Mets are good, but they could still use production at first base, sure, they can be in on a trade for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That is July, and there's a lot of ifs attached to it. Now you're talking about 2026? We could talk about Kyle Tucker, too. Or Manataka Murakami. There's a lot of free agents in 2026. But we're talking about 2025. And in 2025, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is not a realistic backup option or preferred option. It's just not. So we got to get that crap out of our mouth, out of our brains. Look, I know that one time I was very cocky in saying that a trade couldn't happen. I once said there's no way the Nets would ever trade Mikal Bridges to the Knicks. And I had to eat a lot of tomato sauce for that one. I'd love to be wrong, but I'm not. The Blue Jays are not trading Vladimir Guerrero Jr. So please, for the love of God, if you're trying to explain the Alonso thing, don't explain it with, we're going to get Guerrero next week. We're not getting Guerrero next week.
And I'm happy that you're saying this too, because I am one who, not just on the Toronto end of things, you think David Stearns is going to go and give up six prospects? I mean, dude, all they're talking about is trying to build up these prospects, trying to figure out where they're going to play, all this other stuff. Hey, they're the cheap deals, et cetera. He's not just going to hand over six guys for a rental with not a guarantee. We don't want to go through the Juan Soto deal with the Yankees.
And by the way, I wouldn't either. Like, I had a very brief conversation with Sal as midday was handing off to afternoons, and Sal said, wouldn't you prefer Vladimir Guerrero over Pete Alonso? And I said, well, it's a freaking complicated, loaded question. If it's one for one, yes. He's younger. He's better defensively. Even though Pete's actually had better seasons in two of the last 3 years, I understand. Look at what Vlad did last year. Look at what Vlad did 3 years ago. I get it. All right. I'm not arguing Vlad versus Pete. What I'm arguing is you get Pete for a 3-year deal. Let's say you get him at $28 million. And then the prospects that you were going to trade for Vlad in this hypothetical trade that'll never happen, maybe you actually use for, I don't know, a controllable starting pitcher who you don't have to worry about extending because he still has 2 more years of team control. Now, who is that guy? I don't know. Maybe the Tigers trade to Rick Skubal at the deadline or next year. I have no idea. My point is, I wouldn't rather lose Pete and then trade 5 top prospects for Guerrero, who's a free agent at the end of the year. Absolutely not. No. If we're talking about signing him next year, of course. I'm not arguing against signing him as a free agent next year, but that's next year. When we do the Ricos next year, we'll break it all down. So I think some of my fellow Met fans are living in a freaking fantasy world when it comes to Guerrero Jr.
And here's the other thing too is, this is what's confusing me. I'm pretty sure I heard Steve Cohen after a victory, after a post game, whether I think it was the NLDS, where he said, we want to change the mentality of the fan base. We want this to be the regular thing. We want this to be the norm of the fans, having success and winning. First of all, if that's the case, then why don't you get Pete Alonso and Vlad Guerrero Jr.? Why is it got to be one or the other? And B, I know that you talked about Steve Cohen not stepping in and letting David Stern handle business. That's all great. But he went above and beyond for Juan Soto. Can you just do it one more time for Pete Alonso?
I'll tell you why I disagree with that. I'll tell you why. I believe when it comes to Soto, David Stearns wanted the player. I don't think David Stearns was like, I don't really care about him unless whatever Steve wants to do. Juan Soto is a generational bat. He's 26 years old. He lives and he eats and he breathes baseball and batting. He is a guy that any team with a half a brain would offer $700 million to. The Yankees did. You want to know why? Because the Yankees aren't idiots. You know, I know some Yankee fans like to say they're better off. You know why we should know they're not better off? Even though their pivot was nice. The Yankees, who are smart, Brian Cashman, who is a heartless bastard, he wanted to offer $750 million. Now, there was a moment where you walk away. I get that. But every team with a brain wanted Juan Soto. So I don't look at the Mets signing Soto as, well, that's not David Stearns, that's Steve Cohen. Did Steve Cohen get involved in the negotiations? Of course. I think when you're talking about such a high-level financial move and you need that kind of commitment from an owner, absolutely, an owner's going to get involved. But I don't like the idea of, well, that wasn't David Stearns. Look, David Stearns wanted the player. Of course he wanted the player. He probably recommended to Steve Cohen, yeah, as long as you're willing to go there financially, go get the player. With Alonso, I think David Stearns, A, doesn't appreciate him as much as we do, and I'm not talking about that as a fan. I think I'm talking about it as a player. He doesn't like the way he thinks he's going to age over the next 3 years. He doesn't think he's as valuable to this lineup. He's also probably a lot higher on the younger players than maybe we are, specifically Brett Beatty. So I don't want Steve Cohen, who spent a fortune to hire this guy and hand him the reins to the team, to jump in when he disagrees with him. That's a dysfunctional franchise. That's what the Jets do. And that's why, like, when we talk about, I had this argument with a buddy of mine, and it was such a weird argument because I want Pete back. So I hate arguing with people who also want Pete back. Like, what are we arguing about? And basically he said, boy, the Mets are disrespecting him. They should give him 6 years. Cohen should get involved. And I'm like, I want Pete back. But no, they shouldn't offer him 6 years. Not when no one's offering him more than three. And number two, he hired a team president. Let the team president make moves. If it doesn't work, we have every right to rip him. I have every right to rip him right now and say, I disagree with you. And if it doesn't work enough over the next 3 years, he'll be out of a job. But I don't want my team president getting railroaded by the owner. So this is where I'll disagree with those that are on my side about Pete and say, while I want the guy back, I want him back because David Stearns makes the right decision, or at least the decision I agree with. I don't want him back because Steve Cohen Bigfoots him. That's not a functional franchise. That's the Jets.
I get it, but then why does it feel like we're just punting on 2025?
Don't do that.
But that's how it feels. Like, you just talked about saying the next moves are Iglesias and maybe a couple arms in the bullpen. I don't look at this. Last year, I looked at the Mets and go, you know what? They're mediocre, but they can make the playoffs. I'm looking at this franchise going, okay, yeah, we got Juan Soto, but then where else are we better? Where are we improved?
Well, you don't have to think they're better, okay? Those are the arguments we'll have over the next 2 months. What you can't say is punting. They added Juan Soto. They're aggressively trying to add a top reliever. They brought back Sean Manaea. That's not punting. We can disagree. I disagree with David Stearns on how much he offered Pete Alonso. I disagree on how losing Pete Alonso is negligent. I think it's a big deal. I think it hurts this lineup. This lineup is not as good if Pete isn't back. So I disagree with those who say the other. But I can't. They're punting. Come on, Pete. Get that freaking word out of your goddamn vocabulary.
But here's the thing: I also disagree with them going into a season again without a true ace. I disagree with them without them going in.
But that's not punting. That's not punting.
But you already said it too. It's like there's more possibility of the Mets being out of the playoffs come trade deadline than the Blue Jays.
That's fine. That's not punting. You know what punting is? I'm just going to use two words, and then you look it up because you have no idea about it. It's called the Brooklyn Nets. That's punting a season. Don't ever compare the Mets to that kind of punting. All right. Got a lot of emails. I don't know if we're going to get to all of them, but we'll certainly try. And then we'll talk about Jesse Winker, I'm sure, at some point, because that guy's back. Aren't we excited? Let me start with the email that was sent 4 minutes ago. I think I'm going more recent to the back. This is from Peter. Peter writes, "My fragile state." So we'll start with someone who's very sensitive right now. "I am writing this based on seeing the name of the episode, and I'm so upset by today's Alonzo news." What's the name of our episode? "New York Mets are moving on from Pete Alonzo."
Oh, sorry. That was before you came on and said that it's not official yet.
Well, look. Let me make this clear. It is very likely that Pete's not going to be a New York Met. I'm not going to give you sugar cane or sugar roses or whatever that stupid phrase is. It's just we haven't put out of our misery yet, and this negotiation has had some weird bumps. It's not over until Alonzo's signing with the Blue Jays, until Jeff Passan, you know, gives us the Passan bomb at 2 a.m. that says the Blue Jays and Pete Alonzo have agreed to a 1 year, you know, $22 million deal, which will drive us all nuts. He's not gone yet. But anyhow, I can't picture Pete Alonzo in another uniform. My son's only Met jersey is Alonzo. I want this to be false, but I'm so happy that the Mets are moving right into another plan instead of closing up shop. We need bats, plural. Winker is good off the bench and adds depth and personality, but as a starter, he's exposed and doesn't produce. I love signing a switch hitter, but I'd rather give up defense. Honestly, the best and most team-friendly answer comes from within the system. Are we secretly banking on the emergence from these players? Aren't we already banking on Mark Vientos having a positive year, Pete? So I kind of agree with you about Winker. I'm glad Jesse Winker is back. I think that if he plays every day, he can be exposed. That's why keeping Starling Marte is very valuable. There was a Mike Puma report that the Mets had told Marte they were open to dealing him to a place that maybe is better for him. What does that mean? Play the outfield more? He gets hurt all the time. Playing the outfield more is not the best place for Starling Marte. The best place for Starling Marte is right here. I really believe that. And I've said that since before this offseason began, that if they sign Soto, I'm not looking to just dump him. Like, in the right deal, I'll trade him, sure. But I think Marte as a DH can be incredibly valuable. So I think right now, if they do not bring Pete back, they're not adding plural bats. I think they'd keep Iglesias. I think Winker and Marte are mostly DHing. I think Vientos is playing first base every single day. And you're right, Peter. They're banking that last year's Vientos season is real and legit. And I think you're looking at a spring competition at third base. That's going to include Brett Beatty. That's going to include Luis Angel Acuna. And I don't know how it can include Ronnie Mauricio. I have a tough time believing that, considering the guy hasn't played the year. Got a major torn ACL injury and then had issues coming back from it. So I have a tough time believing that's going to be the case. Patricia writes, I think it's Patricia. I'm trying to read their email name. "I praise Stearns all season long. I love that he was quick to cut guys when needed, unlike previous GMs and POBOs, President of Baseball Operations. I positively called him cold-blooded, but I didn't know he was dead inside. I shed a tear when Jake left, but like you, I understood it. At least we still had Pete. Over 30 home runs and close to 100 RBIs a year, batting behind Juan Soto. We didn't want him. Why? I'm at a loss." Because you're right about David Stearns. He's a cold-blooded assassin killer, which can be good and bad, depending on the situation. And he valued Pete Alonso as someone who's only worth $23 million a year. That's what it came down to. Drew writes, "Brandon Nimmo versus Pete Alonso. I'd love a comparison between the Nimmo contract situation versus Pete Alonso's free agency. Do you think Stearns would have signed Nimmo to that deal? We actually heard about other teams, I think the Rockies, wanting to pursue Nimmo in a weak center field market. Alonso, on the other hand, as you said, we haven't heard a market whatsoever. Thanks. Hopefully he comes back. P.S. Shout out to Omar Quintanilla." Omar Quintanilla, that's the cousin podcast of the Rico Bronya. Someone's actually going to start an Omar Quintanilla. I'm just kidding. I think the biggest difference, and you hit on it, Drew, between Brandon Nimmo's contract And free agency in Pete Alonso's is market. It's like when you sell your house. If nobody's bidding on it, how could you expect to get a lot back? Right now, there has been no bidding on Pete Alonso. There was serious bidding on Brandon Nimmo, and the Mets were forced to have to go where they went. Remember, they extended on years just to bring his AAV down. As far as what Stearns would have done, there's no way to know. Billy Epler and David Stearns couldn't have been more different. Remember, Billy Epler was the GM when the Mets made that offer to Pete a few years ago that he turned down. The 6 years, 100 and whatever it was, million dollars. And let me point this out because everybody loves to say this. Everybody loves to say Pete made his own bed. He screwed up. He should have accepted that contract. Watch this. I'll show you some fun gymnastics. You're right. No shit. Pete Alonso and his former agent made a mistake. They should have signed that contract. Okay? We got that out of the way? Now let's move on to today. What the hell does that have to do with today? I'm just curious. So Pete Alonso screwed up 2 years ago. Okay? That means with a completely different president of baseball operations in a completely different situation, we're supposed to not let him forget that and say, well, you turn this down, so we're going to give you $23 million a year. And one thing has nothing to do with the other. Like, yes, he screwed up. Well, why is that even a thing anymore? He screwed up. He's an idiot. Okay, great. And that's fine. I just don't know what that has to do with this. It's a different agent. It's a different situation. We're talking about a completely different contract. Jamie writes, I don't understand. I value Pete as a player and as a Met. Let's say Stearns doesn't, which every action clearly states that's the case. Why didn't he just make not bringing Alonso back the plan early on? The team could have acquired a solid major league first baseman while you wait for Vlad Jr. Instead, you spent all this money on Soto without the best possible lineup for him in 2025. I know the offseason is not over, and he can still add his Met, as my friend said, Stearns is. I know the offseason is not over, and he can still add, and as my friend said, Stearns is smarter than all of us fans, but I think he made a mistake here that will cost us wins beyond this season. Beyond 2025, maybe it works, but when will the chips be down to complete ASAP? P.S. would have killed the team payroll to give $32 million instead of $25 million. It wouldn't have killed the payroll, and Steve could afford it, but I think they're being businessmen. David Stearns on his little chalkboard has Pete Alonso valued in a certain area. He doesn't have him valued at $32 million. That's what it comes down to. I do think you made an interesting point, Jamie, about if you knew this is what we value Pete Alonso at. Okay, we're not going beyond this. Would it have been better early on in this offseason to pivot early and say, we're moving on. We're trading for Josh Naylor. We're signing Paul Goldschmidt. Where whatever other first baseman you may have preferred. We're trading for Nathaniel Lowe, whichever one you want. Yes and no. Like, the perk of that is, sure, you could have gotten a nice addition who doesn't make that much money. You could have gotten one of those backup plans we talked about. The problem was, maybe the Mets thought, there is no market for Pete. Scott's going to give in, and we're going to get him back for what we want. So why initially move on by getting somebody else when we may end up back with the player? That's why I don't fully agree with Hoff's point that they never wanted him back. I think they wanted him back. They wanted him back at their price. Nick Lampman writes, Evan, Pete, big fan of the pod. I'm starting to get very unsure about David Stearns' intentions and outlook for this season. I agree with you, Evan. The strength of this team is going to have to be the offense, and there's way too many question marks with the current rotation configuration. But if the Mets are electing to not go with Pete, and the Vladdy fantasy is nothing more than a fantasy, and Bregman is extremely unlikely based on the years he's looking for, where does it really leave this team? Santander on a short deal and platoon at first base? Or, and what I think is more likely and honestly reeks of Wilpon error to me, is Nolan Arenado and a bullpen arm trade with the Cardinals and shifting Vientos to first base? Then you have a lineup of Lindor, Arenado, Soto, Vientos, Marte, Winker, DH, Nimmo, Mikel Acuna, Alvi, Siri Taylor. That's an incredibly mediocre small market lineup that I don't think can guarantee 4 to 5 runs per game, but can surely guarantee double-digit Ks and plenty of ground ball into double plays. Pair that with a rotation that has three arms, which are coin flips, and a severely lacking bullpen, even if Tanner Scott gets added. We learned last year that you need as many arms as possible and quality ones at that. This rotation and bullpen is nowhere near that. Feels you probably should be looking at 81 wins and hope of 5 extra wins upside that could sneak into a second wild card spot. Sorry for the rambling. All right, let me get to Arenado because that's a fine name to bring up. Let's ask this question in this post-Alonso world, if that's really what we're looking at. Would you rather have Nolan Arenado, who looks like a declining baseball player, even if it costs you nothing, and the Cardinals are going to pick up money, so it's not a financial issue. Would you rather have Arenado, who if you acquire, let's face it, you're playing him every day. I don't think Arenado comes here as this veteran who's teaching Ronnie Mauricio or a veteran who's teaching Brett Beatty and plays half the time. Arenado comes here, he's playing every day. Would you rather have Nolan Arenado or would you rather roll the dice with Mauricio, Beatty, Acuna, Iglesias part-time? I got to be honest with you, and I have my concerns about Beatty, and I've got major concerns about Mauricio off a torn ACL. I'd rather do that than Nolan Arenado. If they sign Nolan Arenado, not sign, they would acquire Nolan Arenado in a trade from St. Louis, a part of me starts to think, I'd be even more pissed about letting Pete go. Like, well, then just bring Pete back. Arenado's got 3 more years left on his deal. So I don't love it. But do me one favor. Don't bring up Will Ponce. There are certain things, as angry as one may be, as mad as one may be, I'm mad. I'd have offered him more money. Not my money, but sort of. The idea of comparing this era to the Will Ponce, get it out of your mouth. Same thing with Pete and punting. Like, you can be annoyed and you can be pissed without going to the lowest common denominator, which is the Will Ponce and punting. I'll tell you one other thing I don't want to hear about. I don't want to hear about family. That I don't want to hear about. I don't want to hear about how family-oriented the organization is. It may be true, and they may do a lot of great stuff with families. I'm not saying it's BS. I'm saying right now in the state I'm in, and Pete being family, I don't want to hear about family. I don't want to hear how well the wives are treated or how the kids are treated or how the moms are treated. Again, I'm sure the Mets do a great job with that, but nobody wants to hear it when you took our brother and you basically treated him like, you know, some kind of klutz and you threw him out. Kendrick. I was waiting for the Kendrick email. He always knows how to either make me feel worse or make me feel better. I'm not sure. Kendrick writes, Evan, I tried to brace you for this moment for over a year in comparing Pete Alonso to one of the greatest wrestling icons of our lifetime, John Cena. And just as we will say goodbye to John in 2025, the time is now to recognize we'll be saying goodbye to Pete as well. With the reality of Pete leaving becoming more likely by the Rico, I'd like to share a thought as to why it's not as bad as you may think. So in your own words, can I tell you why you're wrong? So I love Kendrick. What a great start to the email. Kendrick, I would love, and so would everybody listening, we would love for you to tell us why we are wrong about Pete Alonso. When people called up and said to you that the Yankees losing Soto opened up the ability to spread the money for guys like Cody Bellinger and Max Fried, you'd argue, and I'd agree, Soto was still more valuable because the roster would still need to be filled, and Soto is the type of player that brings so much to the table. He is more valuable than 2 very good major leaguers. But are we so sure Pete is at that level too? So although I don't disagree Pete is the best bat in the market right now, I'm not so sure he's the best option on the market when he's being overpaid for his position like Soto was, and we can get 2 players like Tanner Scott and Jack Flaherty to better our roster for the same price. Kendrick. So it's similar to what Hoff asked earlier, which is, would you rather have Tanner Scott or Pete Alonso? I think on a one-on-one basis, and it's such an apples to orange comparison when you talk about a dominant reliever, and Tanner has been a dominant reliever, but you keep in the back of your mind that relievers are, from year to year, very up and down. They're like the stock market. You never know. They're like kickers in the NFL. Would you rather have Tanner Scott or Pete Alonso? I would lean towards the reliability of 35 home runs that I get every single year out of Pete Alonso versus the potential volatility of a reliever. But I think the problem with that question, Kendrick, and this is our own fault, is that we have a billionaire owner. So our thought would be, why not both? Wouldn't that be our thought? Like, okay, why not keep Pete Alonso, keep this incredible lineup, or this dream of a Soto, Lindor, Alonso, Vientos, Nimmo, five-man core, while adding a top reliever. Willis has an email that says, Hoff was right. So this is for you, Pete. This is 100% on Hoff. Never in a million years did David Stearns anticipate there being zero market for Pete and weird, uncomfortable, awkward, not sure what to do, make of the truth be exposed. I know this, Stearns better have a good plan B. Don't be the guy that signed Soto and had a shit offseason. Work needs to be done. And he included Pete's tweet, Hoff's tweet from earlier on Thursday that said, David Stearns never wanted Pete Alonso. End of story. I still don't. I don't agree with you guys about this. He wanted him at his price, and his price was lower than what we agreed with.
I respect that. I just, in my opinion, I feel like this is a guy that doesn't fit his analytics, and it would have been easier and nicer if Pete Alonso could have just found another team to pick him up and overspend.
Yes.
And that's like, hey, we made an offer, and it didn't work out. But instead, it's turned into this because, like you said, there's no. He might sign with the KBO at this point in time. The fact is, nobody wants him. I can't believe that.
When he signs, okay, assuming it's not with the KBO, but when he signs with the Blue Jays or wherever, we are going to look at that contract, and our first reaction is going to be, would we have paid that? That's what it's going to come down to, and that's where I think my anger will be at the Mets, and I think a lot of people's anger will be at the Mets. If he ends up signing the three-year opt-out laden deal and the AAV is $25 million a year, are we not going to look at that and say, how the hell did we not get this done? How the hell? And we let timing get in the way. We let, well, it's January 16th. We got to stop right now. We let that get in the way, and that's what's going to be really frustrating. I hope, for the sake of my own brain, that when Pete leaves, he signs for $120 million over 3 years. So at least we can say, all right, look, that team overpaid. I wish he was back, but I understand why they didn't want to give him $40 million a year. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen. And I'm actually scared it's going to go the other way, that Pete doesn't have a good offer. The Mets are going to move on. They're going to add a top reliever, hopefully. And then Pete's going to end up having to take less than what the Mets offered. And the Mets aren't going to be willing to go back and give him the money because they just spent it on someone else. And Cohen's like, screw it. I'm not spending another payroll over $300 million. I've given you bastards enough. And that's where we're really going to be pissed off.
No, I could see him going to a team, Giants, the Rangers, whatever, Blue Jays, signing a one-year deal or a two-year deal with a one-year opt-out, and then what Matt Chapman did this year was he signed a three-year deal, what, $50-something million contract, and then he got a six-year extension. Like, right. They changed it up, and it turned out to work out in Matt Chapman's favor. So I just feel like that's what's going to happen for Alonso. Unfortunately, it's not going to be with the Mets.
One last email, or else we'll be here all night. We'll have plenty of more Ricos talking about this. We've got our killer series coming up. Eric Hosmer will join us, so we'll have some fun with that. We'll talk about the Hall of Fame in a few days, including some Mets who are getting screwed on the ballot. So we got a lot of Ricos coming up over the next few days. And we have some pretty big announcements. I can't say anything, but they're very exciting. I'll just leave it at that. This is from Stephen Wallach, who says, there are just two questions Pete Alonso has to answer for himself. At this point, it seems to me that Pete Alonso must come towards the Mets position if he wants to re-sign, and he should. Based on your spot-on analysis in recent episodes, along with the advice you described from Tiki Barber and David Wright on making a career in New York, someone should summarize for all for Pete, with the adage that applies in many areas of life, especially for professionals evaluating career options. The only two questions are how much do you love me and who's in charge? Between the money in a contract that the Mets can live with and the added value of being a career New York athlete, if his stats are where they should be, and Pete would be getting more love than he could anywhere else for the rest of his career. And with Cohen, Stearns, and Mendoza putting together and managing the lineup for the foreseeable future, the right people are in charge. The message to Pete, Get a contract with the Mets signed ASAP, and we'll see you in Florida in February. Where I think Steve makes a very good point, and I'm not confident this is going to happen, is the only way this can be saved is for this to become personal between Pete Alonso and Steve Cohen / David Stearns, where Alonso goes around his agent and says, look, I want to be a Met. Can we get this done? And they work out a deal. Look, Aaron Judge and Hal Steinbrenner did it years ago, a couple of years ago now. I'm not confident that's going to happen because I'm sure there's some bad blood now. I'm sure Alonso looks at the Mets and says, F them. They don't want me back. So why would I bend over backwards? The value of being a career New York athlete, I think there's value to it. But I also think he's looking at what they're offering and saying, screw it. I don't want to be back here. So I hope that would happen, Steve. I'm not very confident. Real quick on Jesse Winker. It's so weird. When Winker resigns, I think the attitude I had when I saw it, and most of us had, was great. I think we all mentioned Jesse would be a nice returning option. Left-handed bat, can DH, maybe platoon with Marte at DH, could also play the outfield on days where Brandon Nimmo DHs, even play the outfield. This would not be your greatest defensive combo, but certainly once in a while, you could even play Winker in left, Nimmo in center, Soto in right. Certainly an option. So I was happy about it until the initial response, or not the initial response, but a few minutes later, we hear, this is plan B. And we're like, what? This is plan B? And I don't think it has to be. Pete Alonso still fits on this roster. And that's what's going to make things very interesting over the next few weeks until he puts us out of our misery and goes elsewhere. The only thing that complicates Pete coming back is money, not position availability. Because they are not adding a third baseman. They are not adding a first baseman. I'd be very surprised if they do. If they do, I'm wrong. I doubt it. So that spot for Pete's always going to be there. What may change is if the Mets spend on relievers and spend in other areas, will Steve Cohen be willing to write the check on the tax potentially of Pete Alonso coming back? And that's going to be the ultimate question. Oh, man, what a day. I got a freaking headache. Don't we all have a headache? Don't we all feel sick to our stomach? But it's so different than the DeGrom stuff because the DeGrom stuff just put us out of our misery. Here, we're waiting for our inevitable death. Anyhow, we do appreciate you listening. We'll have plenty more Ricos where we analyze all these situations, including Vlad Guerrero Jr., Kyle Tucker in 2026, and of course the options for 2025, including that fun third base competition that Pete and I can't wait to talk about. That's going to be fun. Breaking down the third base competition. Yeah, see? Got to find the positive. Either way, we appreciate you downloading and listening. Remember to subscribe to Rico Bronya so you never miss an episode. Thank you very much for listening and downloading and subscribing to another edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.